The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Fearless Artist. Meet Avery Williamson, the artist behind Olay Body's Fearless Artist Series. Check out her tips on embracing fearlessness and feeling good in your skin. Her advice for you, like fearlessness, feeling good in your skin is a daily lifelong practice, says Avery. Ask yourself each morning, how can I bring joy and ease into my own life and to the lives of people around me? She goes on to say that some days it might mean taking a few extra moments to care for your skin with a body wash, and other days it might mean getting all your friends together to celebrate, laugh, and have a good time. The next article is titled, From the Carpet to Your Closet. Stylist Scott Louie and Shiana Torini offer tips on adding red carpet style to your personal wardrobe. It's no secret that Black women are trendsetters, especially on the red carpet, whether at the Oscars, Grammys, or Met Gala. Many of these celebrities have their right hand, otherwise known as their Black stylist, to thank for their coveted looks. For the most part, outfits on the red carpet aren't easily accessible in store. They are more likely custom pieces by a brand or skillful collaborations between the brand, stylist, and the celebrity wearing the clothes. But that doesn't mean you can't find some inspiration for your own closet. While most of us aren't getting ready for the next big event, we still aspire to embody confidence and glamour in our everyday attire. If you're trying to translate some of those looks into your personal style, we are here to help. We spoke with two top celebrity stylists, Scott Louie and Shiana Torini, about how to translate sought-after red carpet moments to your wardrobe. Scott Louie has styled stars like Ryan Destiny and Kiki Palmer. Shiana Torini has styled Letitia Wright and Uzo Aduba. Scott Louie on how to add edge to your personal style. Essence asks the question, how do you approach edginess and experimentation with your clients? Scott Louie responded, my rule of thumb as a stylist, especially when it comes to my clients, is to know your audience. It's really a matter of who you're working with, what the overall narrative is, and where they are going. Strategy is important in a stylist-client relationship. I work on an array of clients from different age groups and different sizes. So my approach to adding edginess is what is different from what my client is currently doing. What is something that is pushing the envelope and is daring for them? Something that their fan base hasn't seen, something that they haven't yet tried. That's what edginess is rooted in. We're not expecting it. It's unexpected. Essence asks the question, what advice do you have for someone who wants to take more risk but doesn't know where to start? Louie responded, the biggest thing is just to do it. Take the risk. Start to implement some things that are out of the ordinary for you. If I were to work with someone who wanted to move into a style space that was different for them, I tell them to lay a brick every day. So whether it's adding a ring or a jacket that you wouldn't normally wear, really push the envelope. As any person progresses through their edgy journey, you'll find that being daring little by little becomes an overall thing for you. And then before you know it, it becomes second nature. Essence asks the question, within the context of personal style, what does being edgy mean to you? Louis responded, being edgy means what you wear is eye-catching. It's attention-grabbing. It's irreverent at times. It's pushing the boundaries. There's a juxtaposition in your look. I use Rihanna as a reference all the time. She'll wear those gorgeous gowns and then she puts on a baseball cap with it. Or it's like an oversized men's shirt with a thigh-high boot, adding elements and textures and layers and mixing colors that normally wouldn't work together. We all know the saying, black and brown make a frown. But now I love black and brown together. So edginess is really just things that don't quintessentially go together. Shiana Torini on how to add tailoring and suiting to your personal style. Essence asks the question, what are your thoughts on wearing suits on the red carpet as opposed to something traditional like a gown? Shiana Torini responded, my approach to styling is very collaborative. So while I love playing the untraditional shapes and proportions to create something powerful and unexpected, it's most important to remain authentic to the person. A suit communicates strength, power, and an unspoken confidence. Essence asks the question, can you talk about the benefits of tailoring and how it enhances a wardrobe? Torini responded, it can completely transform a look. When pieces such as suiting are properly tailored, they can enhance and accentuate different parts of the body. For example, I am curvy, so I always go a size up in a pant and take it in at the waist. Clothing will always fall better when it's tailored to your body, and small tweaks can really make a difference. Essence asks the question, what are some of your favorite moments with suits? Torini said, Letitia Wright at the Wakanda Forever New York screening in a black off-white suit is one. There are so many elements that make this suit shine, but for me, it's the oversized cut and the white stitching that really make it special. The oversized shape of the jacket allows it to be worn several ways, as a dress with a great sandal from Amina Muadi or Brother Villela's, or with slim pants as she did for the New York premiere, or with a wide leg pant. Another great red carpet look is Issa Rae on the cover of Vanity Fair in a black Saint Laurent suit. My first job in fashion was at Yves Saint Laurent. One of the reasons I fell in love with the company was that they were the first high fashion luxury brand to dress women in tuxedos and suits. Saint Laurent executes tailoring very well, so a classic black blazer or tuxedo jacket that you can wear a range of ways is worth the investment. I love pairing a jacket with the unexpected, like a high-waisted bike short or a long tuxedo shirt. Janice Duncan at the 93rd Academy Awards in a black Valentino suit is another favorite moment. I am always looking for pieces that have a unique element. The tuxedo jacket could also be considered a cape, but it still has the lines of a great fitting jacket. Pairing it with a sheer textured top, like an Owsley Camp's modern sheer turtleneck, makes the look even more unexpected and interesting. Then there's Uzo Aduba at the Lightyear premiere in a Sergio Hudson suit. Suiting in bold, bright colors is always a yes for me. The jacket could be worn on its own with a bodysuit and jeans. The pieces work well in any season, making it easy to incorporate them into your wardrobe. The next article is titled, Advocating for a Loved One with Lung Cancer. How two sisters rallied together to navigate a devastating lung cancer diagnosis. In 2007, two sisters, Deborah and Jennifer, watched their mother pass away a little more than 2 years after the initial lung cancer diagnosis. Losing a loved one is hard, and the sisters weren't prepared to face yet another lung cancer diagnosis in 2020, this time for Deborah. After her cough was misdiagnosed twice, Deborah, a retired educator from Morganton, North Carolina, learned she had advanced non-small cell lung cancer, NSCLC. Upon hearing the news, Jennifer immediately stepped in as her sister's health advocate. Deborah says Jennifer has been the angel on her shoulder throughout her journey by researching her cancer and communicating with her doctors. That research led Jennifer to discover a physician who could perform Deborah's surgery. But at a follow-up CT scan post-surgery and chemotherapy, Deborah's team of oncologists recommended biomarker testing after discovering that the cancer had spread to the other lung. Biomarker testing identifies a patient's specific tumor makeup to help doctors understand what's driving the growth of the cancer. It can be done through a tissue biopsy or a blood test. Each person's cancer has a unique pattern of biomarkers. Biomarker testing may show mutations in the cancer cells that can help doctors understand what is influencing the cancer to grow and spread, explains interventional pulmonologist Eric Flinog, MD, FCCCP Morehouse School of Medicine. Knowing this may help doctors develop personalized treatment plans to specifically target that type of cancer. After receiving her biomarker testing results, Deborah learned that she had the KRAS-G12C mutation, one of the most common mutations in non-small cell lung cancer, occurring in about 1 in 8 NSCLC patients in Western countries. Despite KRAS testing being recommended by guidelines from professional societies as part of a broad comprehensive panel or targeted testing in NSCLC, not all individuals benefit equitably from these advances. In NSCLC, eligible Black patients are less likely to receive biomarker testing compared to white patients, which can potentially contribute to widening existing disparities in cancer diagnosis and treatment. Despite those statistics, Dr. Flanagan is optimistic in a more equitable future since we are seeing biomarker testing being conducted at the time of diagnosis for advanced or metastatic NSCLC patients, which is how it could and should be utilized because it guides treatment plan decisions. In his opinion, people need to know that at the time of diagnosis, patients, caregivers, and advocates should be empowered and encouraged to ask about the availability of biomarker testing. The next article is titled, Black Love Matters. Breonna Taylor was more than a hashtag to Kenneth Walker. She was his love and best friend. The month of June was special to Breonna Taylor and Kenneth Walker, with her birthday on the 5th and his on the 10th. The couple enjoyed an almost week-long celebration together every year. They loved live music and going to concerts, a good party, and taking long walks. Anything, Walker says, to be in each other's presence and have a good time. Our love was based on friendship. That's where it all started, Walker says, sharing that they first met online in 2012. Friendship was how our love became what it was. Walker says Breonna, at 26, had big plans for her career, working two jobs to pay for nursing school. They had big plans for a future together, too. We were definitely talking about getting married and having a baby and stuff, just planning on being a power couple, making a whole lot of money together, he says. His mother was going to give him his grandmother's ring for Breonna when he was ready to propose. And a close friend of the two had also given them a special gift. Our godson's mom gave us some of his little Jordans. It was supposed to be for our kid. So we always had them sitting on the dresser, like we had a kid already, he says, describing the red and white retro 12s that he still holds close. These items are now keepsakes from a future he and Breonna had planned, but will never have. Everything changed on March 13th, 2020. The night before had started out as an ordinary evening for the duo in Louisville, Kentucky. They had a date night, went out to dinner at Texas Roadhouse, came home, and played a game of Uno. They planned on watching the movie Freedom Riders, but they soon dozed off, not knowing things would never be the same after the early morning hours of March 13. Shortly after midnight, Louisville police officers executing a search warrant used a battering ram to enter Breonna's apartment. Walker, a licensed gun holder, said he thought someone was trying to break in. He fired a single shot, hitting an officer in the leg. The officers returned fire with a barrage of bullets that struck and killed Breonna. When this happened, I lost everything, says Walker. He was immediately taken into custody and charged with the attempted murder of a police officer. He would later learn of his girlfriend's death from a newscast while in jail. Walker never got a chance to say goodbye because he was locked up on the day of Breonna's funeral. I've been having to fight just to live, Walker says now. I haven't even had enough time to slow down and process everything that's happening still to this day. In the 2 years since the traumatic event, Walker, now 30, has been at the forefront of protest, participated in social justice panels, and done countless interviews alongside Breonna's family. He says he feels as if it's all necessary as they continue fighting for justice. Historically, Black women have fought for justice and carried on the legacies of Black men. Mamie Till Mobley for her son, Emmett Till, Betty Shabazz and Coretta Scott King for their husbands, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Erica Garner died fighting for her father, Eric Garner. Women like Cybrina Fulton, Lucy McBeth, and Leslie McSpadden, mothers of Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, and Mike Brown, have forged bonds from shared tragedy, known as Mothers of the Movement. The latter form a heartbroken club of moms of slain black boys. It's a circle in which none of them sought membership that now binds them for life. Here, Walker stands alone. There isn't a father's, husband's, or boyfriend's of the movement. As the only surviving witness to Brianna's killing, Walker shoulders an enormous responsibility for carrying the weight of Brianna's memories. I guess it just feels like I was put in this position for a reason, he reflects. I grew up with two sisters and a mom, so I've always been a protector of black women. Who better to speak than somebody who's lived through this and continues to say her name? Walker was initially charged with assault and attempted murder after the raid. Those charges were permanently dropped in March 2021. That month, Walker filed a civil lawsuit against the city and a number of the officers involved in the shooting, requesting punitive and compensatory damages in both state and federal court. In November 2022, the Louisville Metro Police Department, LMPD, settled with Walker for $2 million. In August 2022, the Justice Department charged four current and former LMPD officers with federal crimes related to Brianna's death, including federal civil rights offenses, unlawful conspiracies, and use of excessive force. One of the officers, Kelly Goodlett, pledged guilty to falsifying the warrant that led to Brianna's death and to later conspiring with another detective to create a cover story when her death gained national attention. I will keep her name alive, Walker vows. I will continue to make sure people know I am still here and that I'm going to keep fighting for Brianna. The next article is titled, I Am the Bar, Cultural Identity Confidence Panel. It is no secret black women continue to dominate every industry they touch, from leading ladies on movie screens, fashion, or activism. Black women are and will forever be the blueprint. This year's Essence Girls United Summit, sponsored by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, highlighted our voices as creators, mavens, and glass ceiling breakers. Featuring a special appearance from Essence and Coca-Cola, If Not For My Girls, cast member Paige Hurd. The summit also underscored the importance of sisterhood. Hosted in Atlanta, attendees enjoyed a range of workshops, panels, and networking opportunities. The next article is titled, We Shall Overcome. In her latest book, The Light We Carry, our forever First Lady, Michelle Obama, shares how she persevered through fear and how we can do the same. Michelle Obama was writing her debut memoir, Becoming, and thought, what on earth am I doing? It's hard to imagine the beloved First Lady ever being unsure of herself. But that doubt resurfaced as she prepared to launch her latest title, The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times. It was a week before the book's publication date when we spoke, and she still didn't feel at ease about the endeavor. I could just be at home, comfortable, not saying anything, she reflected. But here she was. A lot has changed since Mrs. Obama published her autobiographical bestseller in late 2018. A little more than a year after its release, the entire world was shaken by a global pandemic. The Light We Carry speaks to the fear and uncertainty that followed in its wake. Yet the assurance in Mrs. Obama's voice makes you feel as if anything can be overcome. Overcoming is a lesson she learned early on. At 4 years old, Mrs. Obama was selected to participate in a holiday recital. During the rehearsal, she noticed an oversized plush turtle perched next to the spot where she was supposed to perform. Despite her pounding heart, she approached the stage and found that the turtle wasn't as big and intimidating as she thought. For her, the turtle came to symbolize fear of the unknown, even in our adult lives. I asked about the other turtles in her life. This book is one, she states over the phone, but that fear comes up any time anyone is about to release their words into the world. While she doesn't hesitate to share her vulnerability, she doesn't linger on it either. Fear is powerful in that it can keep us safe, she says, but it can also keep us stuck. And if we don't learn how to decode when fear is saving us and when it's holding us back, then we lose out on whatever opportunities and possibilities lie on the other side of that fear. It's an insight that holds lessons for how we deal with each other in our daily lives. On the day we talk, the elephant in the room is, well, a GOP one. It's election day 2022, and predictions of a Republican red wave have captured the nation's attention. Stoking fears and inflaming differences have been key to the party strategy. Ultimately, it fails. Though neither of us says it explicitly, the light we carry serves as a torch showing us a way out of the dark. Ugly politics that have engulfed our nation. Through antidotes in each chapter of the book, Mrs. Obama shares the tools that she and others in her trusted circle use to find the light at the end of our challenges. This is a good time for us all to put our tools on the table and start figuring out how do we cope in these times, she says. We don't have the right or the bandwidth to quit, so we have to figure out how we are going to sustain ourselves and each other. We've got to develop the resilience of our parents and our grandparents now more than ever. And she points out, those fearsome turtles become so much smaller when we do it together. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.